Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. Ain't that peculiar? Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to get into this song. Hold on, way too much echo. Okay. The literal beginning of the end. Let's call it the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end of not knowing about Marvin Gaye. So important, so exciting. Ain't that peculiar? Just listen to it. I'm gonna try and always do that with these episodes so that it's fresh in my mind. So I just listened to it. Exactly 3 minutes long. A little very short. Life-changing 3 minutes. Started it all. I don't know why. But this is episode 3 now, and this was the beginning of the end of me no longer knowing about Marvin Gaye. 14. This is the very first song that I devoured when I was 14, when life changed. And it just became about deliberately diving deep into Marvin Gaye. And for whatever reason, this was the first song that started it all. I was 14. I can't recall what grade I was in. I think I was in eighth grade. It was in May. And I think I was either in seventh or eighth grade. Let me just put it right there. Like, that's what I can't remember. And I can never really remember. And I just remember my backyard. I remember the beauty. It was beautiful springtime, warm, bright sun. It wasn't not necessarily like sunset sun, you know, like dusk sun, like not 90 degrees day, hot outside, but nice warm, had been a nice sunny day sun. And it was like, whenever I started listening to this song, this one particular day is in my mind. It might have just been a day that I had gotten to needing to listen to the song over and over and over again. But I remember, like, I must have put the song on and turned it up loud enough that I could hear it out in the backyard. Because I definitely have this memory of being outside far into the backyard and hearing the music playing from inside the house. So it was just a hypnotizingly catching, like, just finger-snapping, ear-catching tune. That's only 3 minutes long. So again, I will proudly and happily call this an obsession, right? And it is, it's an obsession. So, but to like extremify this obsession was that at the time I'm listening to it on vinyl. And I don't even think it was like the first song on this album that I was listening to it on. So like the song would play. It's only 3 minutes long, especially if I was all the way out in our backyard. We had a quarter acre big backyard. So if I was all the way out into our backyard to like be out there and then have to go back into the house, get to the record player, pick up the needle and figure out like where to place the needle in the middle of the side of a record to get back to the beginning. But to be doing that over and over again, to hear the song multiple times. This started it all. Now, the literal album that I'm talking about, where I'm putting the needle onto, that's honestly the reason why this was the first song. I don't know. Maybe it was just like I said, it's the beginning of the end. Like, I'll call this episode "Ain't That Peculiar," the beginning of the end. Something was done inside of me, of just no longer being like in firm control of my musical needs and tastes and absorption and, you know, like in the incoming music that I was going to be exposed to and listening to, imbibing, you know what I mean? It was like, enough is enough. This is the beginning of the end of no more control and dictatorship over what I musically listen to. Huge thing for me. Music is my DNA. My father's a musician. So I think, like I explained that in the episode previous, I had recorded it once, lost it, and needed to re-record it. But one of the things I had said in my original recording of that was that it blows my mind that there are some people that music is not like a need. It's not like a need. It's a need for me. It's in my DNA. It's a very important thing in my life. And it comes from a musical family. My dad being a musician, you know, music and good music was like something that was always surrounding. I don't know. I think maybe when I was 14, I was starting to feel firmly like, yeah, I'm a teenager now, you know? And it was definitely, when I'm thinking May, it was the end of the school year, right? It was like the final weeks of school. So that summer was getting ready to start. And just, it was definitely associated with a feeling of independence, right? Just control and taking control and being independent about decisions that I was going to make just for things that I wanted to explore. It was a passion being awakened that was just finally diving off of the deep end. It was just like, F it, we're not waiting anymore, let's go. I'm going in. And so, as I had mentioned, that in my home, I had a humongous vinyl record collection at my disposal. And it was a very varied musical selection, compilation, all different types of genres, all different types of artists. But there was a Marvin Gaye section of the collection. And so it was, whenever this happened, I really can't remember the backstory, like what made this first start to happen, other than just the gist of these things that had to have been, you know, just perfect storm happening at the time. There were so many albums. There were the full on albums, and I know that I didn't know where to start. I know that that was it. I know that I did not know where to start. I didn't have the chronology yet. I didn't know what album had been released before another one or last. Or I knew Sexual Healing was last, but I didn't know the rest of the story. And so I think to kind of dip a toe into the collection, there was this very random, I've never come across this album online, you know, in Spotify, in Rhapsody, in any online streaming service. I've never come across this greatest hits album version. It was a greatest hits album, and it was a vinyl, and it was this, and it was just like this kind of very random greatest hits collection. And I'm thinking, I don't think it was a general Motown greatest hits. I think it was very specific to Marvin. But as I think about it, maybe it did have more than just Marvin on it. I remember it was a red-ish album cover, like the actual cover that it was in had red coloring on it. And I feel like it said something to the effect of gold, like gold being on the cover. And I feel like there was a picture of Marvin's face on the cover, I feel like. And it was just a compilation of some songs. The only other song on this album that jumps out at me, which is why it was, I will say again, a very random collection of songs. Because the other Marvin song on there that I remember being on there was this duet with Tammy Terrell, and it's not a common one of it. I was just now trying to think that I was going to sing a couple lines, and I kind of even can't remember. It's just such not one of their commonly known duets. And I would give my love to you for you to keep for the rest of your life. Oh, and happiness would surely be ours, and that will be all right. Oh, yeah, if I could build my whole world around you. That, I don't want to get into any trouble. That was the other song on there. I feel like that was the only other Marvin song on there that I remember. So it might have been a compilation of Motown artists. And so then this Ain't That Peculiar was buried somewhere in the middle of this side of the vinyl. And so placing the needle, like to listen to it over and over and over again, it was always like a little operation. Like you just always had to be careful with your needle on your records, right? Like you could scratch it, and you never wanted to do that because it's not good for the record. So it would always just have to be carefully like picking it up carefully. Don't actually pick it up and accidentally drop it and then it falls back down. I just remember it was a very precarious exercise to go through to be able to just literally physically listen to this song over and over again, which is exactly what I did. But it was all about just carefully picking up the needle and then just really having to give a guess. It's like, okay, let me go back. It's right there. And you put the needle down and it's either a little bit before the song or a little bit into the song. So then you pick it up and you got to place it again. It was just nothing precise about it. And so, yeah, it was this greatest hits album, and it was the beginning of the end of not knowing about Marvin. I didn't know where to dive into the overall collection. There was so much selection, and I didn't know where to start. I just didn't know where to start. But I dipped a toe in with this just greatest hits collection of stuff. And maybe it was like songs that had gone, Motown songs that had gone gold, with somehow me remembering gold being a part of the title of this album. And so, yeah, it was just this random experience of that being the first song. But there was just something so catchy about the tune, right? Like I said, I just listened to it, and it has just always held this very special, like, firstborn child. You don't mean to make it a favorite, but it is a favorite. It just has this such a special place in your heart. I will, like, always be able to listen to that song 500 times in a row and, you know, not be fazed. So, one thing about this song that makes it kind of like currently relevant, and it just blew my mind. I was like, what in the world am I hearing right now? What was the show? No, this is horrible. Scandal. I couldn't even think of it for a second. Scandal, that show, Scandal. The series finale had been a very, very popular show. And the series finale, what was it, last year sometime? And it's a very pivotal scene in the series finale episode. And all of a sudden, the song that's playing, because they used to always play some type of black music, they played Marvin songs before. And then all of a sudden, it's playing Ain't That Peculiar. And I was just like, wow, this very popular, very long-running series, series finale, kind of very pivotal moment in the episode, wrapping this up, cleaning this up, putting a bow on this. And they went with Ain't That Peculiar. Not like, what the heck for, but just all the more driving home the yes of this song. You know, it was just like, this song is everything. Dude, this song is everything. It's everything about Marvin, because he is coming at you in this voice with his aggressive voice, his little growl. He gives you a little bit of the growl. And just his way of delivering the song. Like, there's just a Marvin way of singing a note or combining the two words of the lyrics. He's just gonna put a Marvin flair on it, and this is a definitely good example of to just hear Marvin showing off singing to you, and he's very good at singing. That is his gift. That's the gift, to have this man sing to you. And to just be like, oh my gosh, he just did that. It sounded like that. It just, he said it like that. You know, it's like that. And this is a very good, little 3 minute long, introduction into it. Very, very catchy beat. So some of the background of the song, it's on the album The Moods of Marvin Gaye. It took me a little while to acquire that disc. I didn't get to being able to have the album until I got the disc. That was not one of the vinyl albums that was available to me. So I only was ever able to hear the song. I wasn't able to hear it in sequence of where it fell on an album. It is actually, The Moods of Marvin Gaye is almost, it's a very varied album. The way that I explained that Marvin had very kind of segmented portions of his career, and he kind of had different focuses and the type of music that he wanted to make. And this album is a good example of that. It feels like almost like a greatest hits album, and it's a very well-rounded compilation of different sounds of music from him. It seemed like he felt like he struggled a little bit to be able to just really make the music that he wanted. He wanted to make jazz music. He wanted to be a jazz crooner, more of a sophisticated, older demographic appeal, just more big band sounding, jazzy type of music. And he was kind of coming in at an interesting point in that genre's cycle. It was kind of the end point of that music. And greats had already been established. There was already Nat King Cole. There was already Frank Sinatra. There were already some really humongous icons that had dominated the genre. And he was coming in as a very young newcomer who, it would have taken a lot for him to get some respect trying to approach the music. And he did try to approach the music. And he did record the music. And he did make the music. But I think he was just a little bit too young to be taken seriously by the audience of the genre. It was a very white audience for the genre. Not that that had to be a barrier, but it was an already very established genre. And like I said, it was kind of at the maybe ending of the cycle of it. And so he just struggled to really gain a footing in it. And I think that it was early enough in his career as well that with all of kind of that mental pressure that he felt about trying to approach it, that you can hear in some of his deliveries, especially in like his very earlier attempts, that he doesn't almost feel like he has the right to be trying to sing it. And I love to sing. I love to try and sing certain songs, and sometimes, and I like to sing and record myself singing certain types of songs. And there will sometimes be like that barrier where you like, even as you're recording it, when you're done though, you feel like you're listening to yourself sounding like you didn't really have the right to try. And so sometimes that's the way, that can be the little bit of the vibe that you get from those recordings though it still sounds great because it's Marvin. It's like, it's just, it kind of doesn't even really matter. And, you know, there was some movie where they said, I think it's Karina, where they're talking about some album. And they're reading the liner notes, and one of the things is like, whoever can just sing the phone book and it's going to sound amazing. It's like, that's Marvin. And Marvin can sing whatever and it's going to sound great. But it has to do with one's own perception of how they sound. So you can just kind of, in those earlier efforts in that genre, he kind of sounds like he thinks he doesn't really necessarily have the right to be singing it. He has some very delightful examples of that genre of music on this album. And Ain't That Peculiar, I'm looking at the album cover right now, it's kind of in the middle. You hear several songs kind of that same tone, that same flashy R&B, Motown, early 1960s sound. And then it gets to this one, and it's just real catchy. Just so, 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 so catchy. 3 minutes long, definite classic, definite just, I guess, the effect it had on me at the point where I'm ready to just go for it, but I don't know necessarily where to start, so I come across a compilation album of greatest hits, you know, just a little bit of this and that, and go ahead and take a listen to this. And it was like, oh my gosh, yes, please. Yes, please. So, Ain't That Peculiar? I believe it's 1965. He's made a couple albums, but he's had a couple hits. And it's written for him by Smokey Robinson. I'm trying to think. There's just some of the lyric on it that you can, it's very Smokey Robinson. Here's a little nuance of Motown songs at that time. And I think they are Motown songs written by Smokey Robinson. It would be, do you do something till? I love you so much till I can't take it anymore. You know, I love you so much till. And so that would just, the using of the word till, it's kind of like, that's not really the way that I've heard it used before. But there's a lyric in here where that's the way it's phrased. And it's just like, it's so Motown. It's so, that's Smokey Robinson. I've heard that in multiple Motown songs. And it's like, those must be ones that Smokey wrote. Yeah, very high energy, very summertime, very spring, summer, happy days, summer breaks, getting ready to start, just taking independence, deciding to get into learning something about someone and just being so pleasantly assured that you have just made a really, really good decision, and like, there's got to be some really great things in store. Ain't That Peculiar, 3 minutes long, moods Marvin Gaye, total winner.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.